to church for community and consolation, to learn together and to restore our strength for the things that need to be done, and for so much more. Welcome to First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. May we all receive the gifts of this gathering today. I'm the Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm delighted to be joined today by members of the Worship Coordinators Committee who crafted this Father's Day service. Lara Magnuson, Catherine Fernside, and Arnie Gullerud did the work of this, and we'll be hearing reflections on fatherhood from Blake Magnuson and Chris Mayo and Lee Francis, and deep appreciation to all those who helped make this service happen today. And deep appreciation to our tech team. Today, it's Arnie is our DJ. Give us a wave, Arnie. And Chris Paul, Bill Miller, Michaela Renz-Whitmore, Larry Lee, and Cy Schuster are all behind the scenes making it work. Thank you so much. And I want to remind you that in addition to the chalice lighting this morning, there will be a candle lighting ritual later in the service. So I invite you to have a candle ready in your home so you can participate. And if you don't have a candle, you can visualize a candle as we walk through the meditation. So let's kindle our chalices. Life is a gift for which we are grateful. We gather in community to celebrate the glories and mysteries of that gift. Let us worship together.
Every time I feel this way, this old familiar sinking, I will lay my troubles down by the water where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be.
By and by,
and by,
I will lay my troubles down by the water where the river will never run dry.
It's been said, and I do believe as you ask, so shall you receive. So take from me these troubles, bring me sweet release where the river will never run dry.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna let myself be.
By and by,
and by,
I will lay my troubles down by the water where the river will never run dry.
There is a river in this heart of hearts, with a knowingness of my highest good,
I am willing, I will do my part, where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah.
Where the river will never run dry.
This river will never run dry.
Hi, happy Father's Day, everybody. We're going to do the children's affirmation together, and here's how it goes. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands. One more time. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands. Perfect. Thanks, and
happy Father's Day!
Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. My name's Catherine Fernside, and I'm going to share a story with you today during a time for all ages. So come close, get comfortable, and let's listen.
A Different Pond, written by Bao Fi, illustrated by T. Bui. For my family and for refugees everywhere. Baofi, for the working class and all the young dudes. T. Bui. Dad wakes me quietly so Mom can keep sleeping. It will be hours before the sun comes up. In the kitchen, the bare bulb is burning. Dad has been up for a while making sandwiches and packing the car. Can I help, I ask? Sure, my dad whispers. And hands me the tackle box. The streetlights look brighter and the roads aren't so busy before the sun comes up. Dad turns on the heater and tells me stories. A kid at my school said, "My dad's English sounds like a thick, dirty river." But to me, his English sounds like a gentle rain. We stop at the bait store on Lake Street. It always seems to be open. "You're here early," the bait man says. "I got a second job," my dad explains. "I have to work this morning." "On a Saturday?" the bait man asks. My dad nods. It's still dark when we get to the pond. We park the car and climb over the divider between the road and the trees. My dad holds my hand and walks ahead through the tangle and scrub. "Step where I step," he says. I'm thinking about what Dad told the bait man. "If you got another job, why do we still have to fish for food?" I ask. "Everything in America costs a lot of money," he explains. I feel calluses on his hand when he squeezes mine. Sometimes there's a Hmong man at the pond. He speaks English like my dad and likes to tell funny jokes.
Sometimes there's a black man there, too. He shows me his colorful lure collection. This time, it is just me and my dad. It is a little bit cold. I rub my hands together, yawn, and look up to see faint stars like freckles. As Dad sets up in a clearing, I gather small, thin twigs for a fire. They need to be dry and clean. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 10 more for later. I put some rocks in a circle and set up the twigs. "Like a volcano," Dad reminds me. I set one end of each twig down, the other up, leaning them in so they rest against each other and hold each other up. I get it to light with just one match. Dad nods. "You want to put a minnow on the hook?" Dad asks. I want to help. But I shake my head no. I don't want to hurt that little fish, even if I know it's about to be eaten by a bigger one. My dad smiles. He isn't upset with me. Dad hands me a sandwich, cold bologna between two pieces of bread. Careful of the spicy stuff, he says. There's half a peppercorn, like a moon split in two, studded into the meat. I used to fish by a pond like this one when I was a boy in Vietnam, Dad says, biting into his sandwich. With your brother, I ask? He nods, then looks away. Dad tells me about the war, but only sometimes. He and his brother fought side by side. One day, his brother didn't come home. The bobber dips in the dark and Dad pulls. Got one, he says, almost shouting. A crappie, and soon another. Can I help, I ask? He nods, and I use two hands to help guide the fish into the bucket. The fish feels slimy and rough at the same time. Dad laughs at the funny face I make. Dad smiles, his teeth broken and white in the dark, because we have a few fish and he knows we will eat tonight. Time to go home. Dad must get ready for work. He washes his hands with a small nub of green and white soap. Then I do the same. I look at the trees as we walk back to the car. I wonder what the trees look like at that other pond in the country where my dad comes from. By the time we get home, the sunlight coming through the windows is just a faint tint, blue and gray instead of gold. At home, Mom looks tired, but she smiles at the fish in the big white bucket. My dad changes his clothes and gets ready to go to work. He pats me on the back and says to Mom, "Our boy did a good job with the fire today." "You learn so quickly," Mom says. Then she asks me to help with the fish before she has to go to work too. I'm sad that she and Dad must leave, but not too sad. I know that later on, they will both come home. "Look after your baby brother," Mom reminds my brothers and sisters. She means me. Then she gets on her bike and goes to work. I'm not a baby, I think to myself. I helped catch dinner. Tonight, when we are all home, Dad will put rice in that cooker and Mom will fry the fish on both sides until they are crispy. I will bring out the jar of fish sauce that has flecks of chili pepper and carrots floating on top. At the table, my brothers and sisters will tell funny stories. Mom will ask about their homework. Dad will nod and smile and eat with his eyes half closed. "Good fish," he will say to me. And I will smile and nod. And later, when we sleep, we will dream of fish in faraway ponds.
This is a Father's Day meditation by Rod Richards. On this Father's Day, we recognize the vast spectrum of experience and the often complicated feelings that surround such a celebration. We honor those fathers and father figures in our lives who have loved, supported, encouraged, and instructed us, and we seek to share these gifts with others. We mourn with those who mourn the loss of a father, and fathers who mourn the loss of a child, whether separated by death or estrangement. We support those for whom this day brings pain and sorrow, who suffered abandonment, neglect, or abuse. We support and celebrate the fathers in our midst who give of themselves to their children, recognizing all the strength and wisdom, stamina and love, and time and honest introspection that fatherhood requires. We support those men who choose not to have children, yet who are present in loving and supporting ways to children, youth, and adults alike. And we seek to honor, wherever we find ourselves today, across this vast spectrum of experience and to feel the compassion that embraces us within this silence.
We invite you to join us for a candle lighting ritual and meditation. If you'd like, light a candle in honor of the people, the memories, the joys, and the sorrows that you hold in your heart today. For this ritual, we will sit together quietly for 2 minutes.
Blessed be. In the sharing of joys and concerns, our happiness is multiplied and our burdens are lessened. When the video begins, share your joys and concerns in the chat bar that we may hold them together. And if you're not able to write them in the chat bar, we'd still love to know what's on your heart. Send us an email at caring@firstuabq.org. I'm sorry, that's firstuabq.org. And let us know how you're doing. We want to know. Let's share our joys and concerns now.
Words I heard, a pure silent voice, a simple truth, a daily choice, just be kind, be kind. Pay attention to the inside, attention to the outside. Just waiting to be set free, just be kind. much doubt. This world's filled with so much pain. How can I make a difference? Will anything really change if I try to be kind? Be kind. Pay attention to the inside. Attention to the outside. Just be kind, kind, be kind. Pay attention to the inside. Attention to the outside. Just be kind, kind, be kind. Pay attention to the inside. Attention to the outside. Just be kind. To the outside, to the outside. A simple truth, a daily choice. Just be kind. Peace your heart seeks. Love your soul.
So many touching prayers. We lift up all these prayers and those prayers held in our hearts, unspoken, but no less deeply felt. We lift up Vance Bass, recovering from a medical procedure today. We pray for Christine Hall, who received a difficult diagnosis this week. We remember Laura Cooper, who passed this week. We remember her devotion to joy and imagination and the natural world as a spiritual practice, and to kindness and creativity as a path towards justice. We pray for the Atherton family. May they know the warmth and support of this congregation. And may light perpetual shine upon Laura. This week, the Poor People's Campaign, this weekend, held a powerful online rally that was attended by many folks in this congregation. And it actually will be shown again at 4 o'clock today. At the beginning of the rally, a group of interfaith clergy, including several Unitarian Universalist ministers, invoked a prayer. And I want to share that prayer now. We come with many names for the holy, God, Allah, Spirit, Brahman, and those too sacred to voice. Though we are called by many teachers, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Moses, and others, we declare together that in the face of systemic racism, silence is betrayal. We affirm the voice of each human, that within each human is in, that each human is endowed with these rights and recognitions. Racism is the virus that tears at our humanity. It affects our systems and festers within the great democratic experiment that is America. Somebody's hurting our people, and it's gone on too far long, and it's gone on far too long, and we won't be silenced anymore. A pandemic only magnifies the fissures created by racist capitalism, where essential workers are really sacrificial and not given the essentials they need. Where nearly 700 people die every day from poverty in this country before the virus. We pray that we will not be comforted by the false worship of broken systems, but that instead we would find new ways that would create among us an economy of interdependence. Someone's been hurting our people, and it's gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. As we cut our earth, we hurt the spirit of river, soil, mountain, and tree. There is enough for everyone to live free, but there is not enough for corporate greed. We pray with our policy demands, with solidarity strikes, with movements for farmers and workers, with public health workers, with the indigenous struggle for sacred land, for mothers fighting for water. Someone's hurting our people, and it's gone on far too long, and we won't be silent anymore. We lament a nation addicted to war, economically dependent on violence, foreign and domestic. We can't fully address the suffering of God's people if we continue to spend half of our national budget on the military, lining the pockets of corporations and billionaires, and sacrificing the lives of our young people. Let us study war no more. Somebody's hurting our people, and it's gone on far too long, and we can't be silent anymore. For the labor and witness of those who've gone before us to light the way forward, with thanksgiving in our heart, we remember the shoulders on which we stand. Those who laid the foundation for this movement, for those who dreamed us to this moment, for Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, John Brown, Harriet Tubman, Lucretia Mott, Sitting Bull, Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Ella Baker, Dorothy Day, Abraham Herschel, Cesar Chavez, Bayard Rustin, for the elders still with us, for the children birthed in this movement now, we pray. Thank you for the courage of our people in the streets today, lifted up to organize our communities today. And we, like the ones before, are now the ones that we have been waiting for. And we will not be silent anymore. Amen. And peace be with you.
You cry.
silent closing of the pages in the mind of this one and of this once and precious life.
Our sermon today is Voices from Fatherhood, and we have three brave members of our congregation who will be speaking today about their experiences of fathering and fatherhood. The first speaker is Chris Mayo, the second speaker is Blake Magnuson, and the third speaker is Lee Francis. I want to thank all three speakers for participating in this service and wish them and all fathers a happy Father's Day.
Good morning. When I was asked to speak about fatherhood at this service, I realized I'd never given fatherhood much deep thought. I think, like most dads, I've kind of been winging it all along and improving where I need to. The ages of my four children range from 39 to 9. That 30-year difference in age may seem unique to you. Maybe it is, but it's not really to me. It's just the way it is. I'm also a grandfather. My daughter-in-law brought a wonderful little girl to our family when she and my son got married last year. And then about a month ago, she gave birth to my first grandson. I haven't met him yet. I've seen him through Zoom and video, and I've heard him gurgle and coo, and I'm gonna meet him when it's safe. When I agreed to become a father again with Benita, I thought I'd be an improved version of myself. More patient, wiser, more fun, maybe a better teacher. None of that is true. The only discernible difference in my fathering, this is according to my oldest son, is that my dad jokes have improved. And that's not a very big accomplishment. My younger self set a really low bar. The way I see fatherhood is that I'm an evolved version of my father and his father and his father. That doesn't mean I'm a better version. It just means there's some aspects of all the fathers before me that are part of me now. Defining different identities for myself as father has become a great navigational tool for me. The first identities have been provider and protector. I had a good enough job at 22 years old that I could provide for my daughter, keep her clothed, housed, and safe. Protector, really, when they're young, we're just protecting them from pain, emotional or physical. And then as they get older, sometimes I've come to realize that I really can't protect them from everything. And I don't want to. Pain, whether it be emotional or physical, is a great teacher. The next identity is safe haven. And that, you know, again, when they're younger, often that just means having a lap for them to sit on, giving them a hug when they're upset, just being a safe place for them to be. When they get, as they have grown older and more independent, that's become a little more difficult. But what I've realized is really my adult children, sometimes I just want to know that I hear them and that I'm listening and I'm not going to give them advice. I'm just going to be a safe place for them to go, come when they need to air out some problems. Role model is another identity, and I haven't always been successful at that. But the one thing I've done, the one thing I've learned, is that when I make a mistake, I try to own it, and I let my children know when I made a mistake. And I think, isn't that part of being a good role model, is owning our mistakes? All my children have disappointed me. Not often, but once in a while. And it usually has to do with them making choices that I'd rather they didn't make, or I think they shouldn't make. I've learned to trust them, though. Sometimes their choices that I don't agree with have turned out to be great choices. And when they're not great choices and they pay the price, I revert back to safe haven and I hear them. I like to let my younger children make the choices too. Even after I've told them I don't think it's the greatest choice. And that works basically the same way. We learn from our mistakes. And I'm okay with that with them, as long as it doesn't involve fire or explosives. One thing I know about fatherhood, I haven't become a father all by myself. I haven't grown into fatherhood all by myself. It takes a strong partner and a strong community. And that's where you come in. We knew when we were having, when we decided to have our two youngest boys, that we wanted them to grow up in a loving and caring community. That's you. We wanted them to know the value and the importance of social justice. You've helped us with that. We wanted them to know the power of many voices over one. You've shown us, along with them, how powerful that can be. Thank you so much for being part of our loving community. And to all you dads, happy Father's Day. And here is my technical assistant for the day.
Hello.
This is Tristan. Thanks.
In one of my quarantine dreams about a month ago, I'm standing in a little shelter about 1,000 feet up a cliff face. And naturally, my kid is with me, my youngest kid, the one whose favorite game as a baby was to throw her head back, whether or not you were ready to catch her. The moral? You got ready really quick. And I guess I'm with some other people, rehearsing a play or something. I don't know. It's a dream. And now it's time to put on the gear and rappel down the cliff. But I must have missed the rappelling lesson. So now I'm getting a breezy lesson on how to put on the gear, as well as the little gear from a kid. And I'm thinking, if we ever get down, we're not coming back up. The paradox of fathering I want to explore is one of parenting, period. Probably more associated with mothering, and you can't have it all, work-life conundrum. Can fathers have it all? Well, I think the assumption is they can, if they want to. They can certainly have the first part of it all, the spoils the world has to offer, and then, if they show up, say some encouraging words, and take their kid out for some choice father-child outings, well then they're batting 1,000. But what if the all is a different all? Not the all we want to have, but the all we want to give. What if the work is the work? Are you your principles in action? Building a better world, dismantling racism. And life? Well, that's what often seems in the way. Diapers, homework, screen time. Don't touch that piece of cake somebody left on a park bench. You've probably seen me over the years in the church courtyard, corralling my three kids, admonishing them, generally unavailable for conversation or hard theological inquiry. Especially during the years their mother was your church administrator, Dad was on, or maybe on a tear. No time to answer the call. Now our service begins. More likely I'd be calling out a search party after one of my children felt the pull of an adjacent property. Sometimes it takes a congregation. And there's the crux. All this time spent parenting keeps me from being the parent I want to be. And it's not that I want to do things and be the person in the world I want my kids to see for my good. It's for theirs. They need to see that family is more than just a self-contained, self-preserving enterprise. We certainly have been learning a lot about self-preservation and containment the past few months. And in some sense, that line between family and the outside world is starker than it's ever been. Conversely, our re-engagement with that world may perhaps be more decisive than ever. Could any of us have imagined how this is how we risk re-entering that world for the first time? Standing shoulder to shoulder for justice? Why is it just a question of getting down off the cliff? I want to take my kids to the protest that is family friendly, but does not, amidst the barbecue and games, forget what it is protesting. What if they too got to recognize the firsthand the defiance and outrage of their fellow humans, the larger congregation? If only I didn't have to be so worried that the 6-year-old star of this sermon wouldn't run off into the crowd. Or worse, give one of them a hug. Do I wish my kids in harm's way in this season of revolt? No, I do not. But nor do I wish them the harm of being so far out of the way. They miss the march. They miss the act. They miss the all of it. If I can figure out this gear, I'm taking my kid up to the top with me. It's the only way to go. It's the only way for any of us to go.
Fatherhood for me is about how do I pass on teachings to my child, to my son, that have been passed down from my ancestors and from my elders. All of these stories, all of these learnings that pass on his culture and his community and where he comes from. And I don't think it's only my responsibility, but it is that direct linkage, that direct lineage, I think, that is important. And so I think in some ways I also liken it to, you know, this tradition, right? So, and this idea of planting and growing and cultivating, and how can I cultivate, and how can I help my son to grow, and my child to grow? So I think that encapsulates fatherhood for me. I will teach my son a story of growing. I will teach my son a story of growing. Place his hands in the dirt while I speak slowly of his ancestors and their ancient tellings of all things green and golden.
His fingers will stretch in the rich soil, and his story will grow deep, intertwined with his great-grandmother who spent her days giving willing words to each seed and fold, each leaf and bend, her heartbeat of lessons and laughter, the bloodlines of her ancient family, three mothers, three sisters, three daughters, unfolding themselves year after year, a tangle of syllables reaching to the sky. I will teach my son a story of singing, to lift his voice to the horizon, paint his song on canyon walls in brilliant episodes of birth and rebirth. His notes echo in patterns of threes, tetrads of harmony cycling back on themselves, an infinite invention of thought and thoughtfulness, body and embodiment, spirit and the melody of the first green stalk rising above the still cold earth, a joyous symphony of voice and voice and voice, three songs woven in the early morning mist. I will teach my son a story of praying, to offer his arms and legs, head, neck, and ribs as a remembrance of all the songs and stories, bows and blessings buried in the earth for him. His prayers like the slow river from his lips, always mindful that to live in the desert means to always be thinking of water, and to remember that we are of the sea and our sisters are a gift of the rain. I will teach my son a story of dreaming, to plant his night fields in moonrise furrows, digging his fingers and toes into a time when time washes away in streaks of sunset slumber, a time when time uncurls broad leaves to catch the first sun in its green arms, simple and warm, like the first fire brought to us in the time before time, when we learned our stories on the backs of our tongues, and we dreamed together in threes, three stars, three hearts, three hands, forever connected. I will teach my son a story of growing, as they taught us in the long ago time, three sisters, generous and divine. We will invite them to our graceful harvest, share our stories of time and toil and hands pressed to the earth, our spring intentions, our whispers of rain, our indelible sacrifice of minutes motionless in the starry fields, waiting hushed and hesitant for the nascent story to begin again. A story of the body unbroken, unending, cord wrapped around spine, veins and organs, breath and heartbeat. A story of remembrance, of resistance, of resilience, survival on sunburned rock, bent back and finger cracked, parched and precarious, balanced on the edge of here and the beyond place where existence and story are one and the same. That place where three sisters sit easy beside a small river, their faces angled to the sun, fingers intertwined, waiting for us to teach our children a story of dreaming, a story of singing, a story of praying, a story of growing.
I'm so moved by what we just heard. Deep thanks to Chris Mayo and Blake Magnuson and Lee Francis for sharing so frankly and kindly. Thank you for your gifts, gentlemen. As we prepare to take up the offering, I want to remind you that our Change for the Future recipient for this quarter is still Oxford House, an organization that supports women in recovery with residential services and more. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box. And if you prefer not to give online, you can always mail a check to the church office. And I want to share that we are working on making Venmo accessible as a means of making payments to the church. So more to come. We'll now take up the offering for the work of this church and the work of this church in the community.
Thank you. My life goes on in endless song of earth's lamentation. I hear the reel of the fall of him that is a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds as an arrow in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest round me roars? I know the truth is there. What though the darkness round me glows? Something in the night to hear it. No starry shape my inmost home, while to the rock I'm clinging. Since the
what is given generously is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Unitarian Church, and thank you on behalf of Oxford House. As we extinguish our chalices, we remember that life is a gift for which we are grateful. May we continue to celebrate the glories and mysteries of this gift. Our worship has ended. Our service begins. Go in peace, gentle people.
There is more love somewhere.